Well, all morning I've been telling you Joanna Lumley would arrive. We had one call of utter excitement and ebullient joy, saying I love her and how marvellous, and say thank you to Joanna for the idea of the Garden Bridge, and thank you for all that you have done for this lady's life, in which you've enhanced in every possible particular. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much, Vanessa.
So tell us about the moment when you decided, or when you envisaged a Garden Bridge for London.
This was an idea which was to have a quiet way of crossing the Thames. It was for London, let's say at Waterloo and going up to Holborn. If you look at the roads that you cross, you have to cross the Thames there. It's Waterloo and Blackfriars, both big, lovely bridges, but they're noisy with traffic going past or trains going past your ear. And rather, you can think of the Garden Bridge as really like the Millennium Bridge, but with trees on. That's what it is, a pedestrian bridge where you can cross the river in quietness. And this is such a kind of beautiful and tranquil and lovely idea that I thought it ought to be a gift to London from people who are much, much richer. So although it's privately, it's going to be four-fifths privately funded, it's actually, it belongs to the public and it's for the public. So it's not a private bridge.
And so what happened? You called Boris Johnson, then Mayor of London, and trotted over with it? No, what happened next?
He was looking for... Transport for London have got something like 11 to 13 river crossings planned. And some of them are going to be pedestrian, some are going to be cycle tracks, some are going to be tunnels underneath, because you have to cross the Thames a lot more than we can cross it at the moment. And so when the pedestrian bridge came up, Thomas Heatherwick, who I'd met before and who we'd discussed this idea, said, let's put the idea of the pedestrian bridge, but with trees on, the Garden Bridge, let's put it to Boris, which we did. I have to say, I don't know Boris, although the papers are made out that we're childhood friends. I sat for his mother, who's a portrait painter, for a film I was doing.
When I have discussed it on the programme, yeah, and we have discussed it, the lovely listener and I, yeah, with passion, with venom, I think, on some occasions, with utter resigned misery on occasions, but boy, have we discussed it, we really have. Mm. And every time I have presented the idea as a beautiful, fragrant, horticultural adornment to life in London. And boy, have I tried. I have talked about, you know, proposing marriage underneath a scented and sinuous rill. I have talked about sitting in a fragrant bower. I have summoned the name of every flower I've ever seen in my life. My listeners, almost to a man, not all, some do like the idea, but very many ring in and say, oh, for goodness sake, not there, not for that amount of money.
I'll tell you why there. It's because I've obviously studied this idea that you would just stick a bridge anywhere. It's not a tourist attraction. People might love to come and see it, but that's not what it is. So there's no point in putting it much further upriver, let's say at Kew or at Battersea, where nobody's walking on the embankments anyway. This is a facility for Londoners. It just happens to be a very beautiful and quiet way of crossing the river. So that's why it's there. I might be wrong, Vanessa, but I think that the people who are most vociferous, which are 2,000 or 3,000 people, I think, who may be part of your listeners as well, there's a group who are very, very anti it. And I'm so sympathetic to them. But there are many, many millions of Londoners who absolutely adore the idea and have contacted us at the Garden Bridge rather than you and your programme, saying how much they love it.
Now, among the vociferous Londoners, and I'm sure you will have encountered this gentleman, is Michael Ball, the resident of Lambeth and chair of the local community group, which is called Thames Central Open Spaces. And I spoke to him today, and he said on the programme, one of the things to which he most objects, and there are a raft of things, and they've taken it to the High Court and everything else.
But it was thrown out.
Yes, I know, but they're going to have another bash at it, he says. But one of the things is the view, the interruption of what he says is this majestic view of magnificent sylvan trees, which he says will be ruined by a great big clump of concrete, which will be all that you will see of the Garden Bridge, unless you're either A, on it, or B, in a helicopter driving over it.
Well, it's not concrete for a start, it's cupronickel. Whenever a new building goes up, wherever you stand, at some stage you're going to see the new building. So I don't think you can just blame the Garden Bridge for it being there. I mean, London is, I live at Nine Elms in Lambeth, and the stuff that's going up there from what wasn't there is a change of the skyline. London is changing. Mm. There are people who say, oh, you won't be able to see St Paul's Cathedral. Well, no, certainly you can't if you stand behind something. You can't see it from all over the place. But if you get up onto the bridge, you can have the best views of St Paul's Cathedral in London.
Let me read it. Look, I have a look. All of this is about the Garden Bridge. This has all been flooding.
And it's all negative.
This morning. I don't know if it's all negative. I haven't even read any of it yet. It's just in a big pile. I read it as it comes in. But let me. Shall I start at the back? At the top? I mean, the front.
Of course.
And I'm not. As you see, not cherry picking. This is just how the things have come in. So Tom says the problem with the Garden Bridge is they don't have anywhere near the money they need to build it. They've already taken $40 million in public funds. They haven't built anything yet, and they've run out of cash. If they start to build, it'll be like the Millennium Dome. They'll run out of money halfway through and come back to the mayor saying, look, here's a half-built bridge in the middle of London. We can't leave this eyesore like this. Give us more cash. In theory, Joanna Lumley, as a trustee, should pay herself to demolish the bridge if they can't finish it. Somehow, I don't think even Joanna can afford that. If the trust start to build this thing, it won't be a gift. It'll be taxpayers who will pay tens, maybe hundreds of millions to finish building it and to maintain it. That's from Tom.
Well, yes, Tom, thank you. That's a very sort of well thought out letter, but it's kind of wrong in many ways. First of all, you can't see anything. The money spent in planning, for instance, HS2 has already spent $2 billion, and there's nothing to show for it. It's spent $2 billion in the planning, and so all the money that we have spent so far, with apparently nothing to show for it, has all been gone on the statutory processes of planning consents, of acquiring necessary interests in land, procuring contractors, and doing all these things. We've had to give immensely detailed studies to gain the planning consent from Westminster on the north, Lambeth on the south. The amount of work we've done marine studies, we've been working 3 years with a lot of highly technical teams. That's where the money's gone. We're not going to start. We are contractually obliged not to start building unless we have all the money in place. So he mustn't worry about it suddenly running out. We wouldn't dream of starting something we couldn't finish. So all the money is going to be in place. Why isn't it there now? Because this hiatus that has been caused when we're just finishing all the planning consents, we've got one major consent from Coyne Street, who are the only people who haven't signed yet. When we have that, and we hope we will get that next week, then we go ahead and then we can make public the donors, who at the moment are anonymous. Everybody knows on huge charitable things that the money comes in after you've started. Nobody's going to give money to something that hasn't been greenlit. Mm-hmm. We can only get greenlit once Coyne Street has signed. So Coyne Street, I know, are very opposed to it. So we're having very interesting discussions, and we hope that next week we'll be able to come to the conclusion. Yep. But the taxpayer will not be paying for this. So rest easy, Tom.
What else have we got? This is, let's try these. Garden Bridge folly. Which problem does it solve? Which purpose does it serve? Public money for a private bridge with no public right of way is a disgrace.
It isn't public money for a private bridge. We've said that. It isn't a private bridge. The bridge is a public bridge. It's privately funded.
I think people are worried that there'll be corporate days and special days for donors, and they'll be excluded from it.
No, they won't be excluded. It's open 365 days a year. The reason we shut at midnight and open at 6 in the morning is under guidance from the High Line in New York, which some of your listeners will know about. And they said you have to do that to maintain the bridge, to keep it looking lovely and to stop rough sleepers on it. 12 days a year, we will have to have corporate things on it to raise the money to look after it so that the public don't pay for it, private maintenance. And just if you think of Hyde Park with Winter Wonderland and huge pop concerts and all the things it has there, which is public spaces taken up for private events, that's exactly the same sort of thing.
Do you think we don't do shows about that as well, with people ringing in to object?
I'm sure. A lot
certainly
of people are
do.
Terribly cross. I
we
mean,
certainly do.
The thing, yeah,
let me just read you this from Andy, who says, the South Bank is beautiful the way it is already. I don't want trees felled for a view-destroying monstrosity.
I'm absolutely on Andy's side for this thing of trees felling. This is why I'm such a lousy gardener myself. I can hardly bear to prune a leaf because I love nature so much. But the truth is, whenever, as you watch any gardening programme, when you're going to do something and make it very, very beautiful, you sometimes have to cut down things. I hate trees being felled. We're going to make things from all the trees that are felled. We're going to be planting 270 trees on the bridge. We're going to be replacing on the embankment the trees, as many trees as we can once it's been built. So he must know that he's talking to people who love gardens.
This is from Bruce, and he says, the project's been plagued with troubles from day one and driven along in the most arrogant and high-handed approach from all concerned. There's absolutely no need for a river crossing at this point on the river. It would be the only bridge on the river to be closed at night. It'll be closed to the public for an undisclosed number of days. Well, you've just said 12, you have disclosed. It will destroy over 35 mature existing trees to allow a new growth of unspecified trees on the bridge. It'll ruin and wreck the existing beautiful view east of the city in St. Paul's. If it were to become a tourist attraction, it will be the only one funded by public public money, with the profits made going to the private sector. Currently, they're over £50 million short of funding and no sign of any further donors. I think the adverse publicity is putting people off.
I think that, you see, you must understand it's a charity. There's no private sector. Nobody's making any money off this. We're all pouring money into it. Mm-hmm. That's of no concern to anybody. But this is a gift to London. Nobody's making money. Nobody will stand to make any money from this.
May I ask, on a personal level, I mean, you thought of it as a gift to London.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be costing anyone in London anything at all.
It may
be closed for just 12 days a year. I mean, you know, for God's sake, we can all deal with not going on a particular bridge for 12 days a year. It will be, I'm sure, when it's built, beautiful, because it's going to be planted out and bedecked in the most magnificent way by the greatest gardeners, and I'm sure gifts of wonderful horticultural exhibits from all over the world will flood in so that it is beautiful. So why do you think people are objecting in this way? Talk about looking a gift horse in the mouth. And how does it feel to be the person trying to foist a gift on people who don't seem to be willing to receive it?
I know, sometimes it feels as though you've knocked on the door and brought a bouquet of flowers and the person's taken them and jumped on them. So that's a bit strange. It is a gift to London. Why has any public money been used? Because it is also public thoroughfare. Like any bridges, is it a public thoroughfare? The reason why the Millennium Bridge was privately funded completely was that it was City of London, and they had enough rich people in the City of London. But one side of us is Lambeth, which is very poor. So Lambeth, who've been amazingly helpful for us, as Westminster on the other side have. You see, the difficult thing is that all these, I've just seen another email coming in, probably quite cross.
Let's see. This is from Ali in Dartford. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I would love to be able to go and visit the Garden Bridge in London. I'm fed up with MPs deciding what we do or don't want without seemingly any form of public consultation, or if there is public consultation, it seems the public have to go looking for the information rather than be presented with it. I love Joanna Lumley. If she thinks it's a good idea, then I very much doubt that she is wrong. That's Ali in Dartford.
That's very, very nice.
A big fan.
Thanks, Ali. That was so kind. But we want London to get... I mean, the thing is that the vociferous ones who write in, who are writing to all the papers, and the papers who love a bit of a scrap, print all those, the millions of people who are behind this, and we've done polls to find out that it's the most enormous proportion, 75-80% of Londoners want it. But they don't write in. As you know, how cross everybody was about the Olympics. Oh, we'll make a mess of it. It'll be horrible. Look how bad that'll be. The London Eye. Oh, we don't want such a thing. It'll ruin London and everything. All these things, we have a sort of tendency to hate stuff. And I would love people to just for a second, maybe even just for today, to turn their hate eyes around and say, what if we loved this bridge? What if we were happy and proud of it? What if we loved walking across it and there were birds and flowers?
All of the lines are lighting up just as you say that. Now, I don't know whether they're lighting up so that people say, yes, we love it. And every time Vanessa quotes Kubla Khan and talks about a garden bright with sinuous rills, we think, ah, yes, tweeting birds, love, a glass of wine and all of that kind of thing. Fabulous. Or whether they're all phoning up to say, ah, we don't want it. It's the most terrible gift that we do not want. Who knows? But we will find out as the show continues. Thank you so much for coming.
It's been so nice seeing you, Vanessa.
It's been very nice to see you too, and I do hope people have enjoyed it, and also that they've loved hearing your description of what it is that you're trying to present London with. And we'll see whether they're going to say thank you very much indeed, or whether they're going to say we don't want it. So nice to see you, Joanna Lumley, and we will be straight back with you after the news headlines.